Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just pulled in the car into the side of the road. I'm in the wilds of Wicklow. I think it's one of... Oh, it's one of the loveliest places in Ireland. Well, it's one of the loveliest places on the East Coast. And I'm trying to find Collie Ennis's new home because he has moved here. Yeah, he's got a little pad out in the countryside. So Google Maps is telling me it is 4 minutes away. So fingers crossed.
Hey there, everybody. Greetings from the wild of Wicklow. And I'm glad that you can join me on this adventure to find out where Collie Ennis now lives. He's moved out of Dublin. And heads up for this particular episode. On this day, I decided to take with me a brand new microphone that I hoped to try out. And as you'll hear, I failed miserably to do anything good with this microphone. There's quite a bit of wind noise on there that I tried to get rid of and couldn't. So normal service will resume with the regular microphones for the next episode. And in the meantime, we hope you enjoy this one.
Oh, I'm seeing ponds. I'm seeing ponds. I'm seeing quail. This is definitely Collie Ennis's house. So excited. Wrong side. It's so posh, this place. It's got multiple entrances. Look at you, Lord of the Manor. Squire Ennis.
Squire Ennis,
it is fabulous.
What do you think of the view?
Oh my God.
Well, here's one of my house martins.
Oh yeah.
This one, yes.
Amazing. And look at you in your man bun. Rocking a man
bun.
Oh
yes. Well, there's no hairdressers open, so I can't help it. There you go.
I'm so happy for you. Okay. It really is countryside.
Yeah. But it's close enough to the town to get in now.
Yeah.
So it's
like
not too
bad. Just, you're really into Blessington really quickly over that lovely bridge. And
perfect.
It's fabulous.
It really is perfect.
Well done you. I'm so delighted.
A lot of hard graft.
Oh God, yeah. And I was just saying, as I drove in, I saw quails. I saw ponds. I thought, okay, this is the end.
That's
of
the right one, yeah. I was thinking today we might talk about ponds.
Yeah.
An interesting little chat about them, because I'm in the middle of building them.
Yeah.
I suppose we've talked about what's in them before.
Yeah.
But the actual construction of them, because it's a great summer project. If anyone's listening, they want to do it. Now's the time to kind of get your shovel out. And
I mean, I'm looking at the pond, the small pond, the sort of like a ditch pond that you put in. It looks like it's been there forever.
Yeah.
That's a real skill.
Yeah, it's good when you can do it, when you can make it look like it's been natural. And so yeah, you can see behind me, I've got all these tall trees behind the house, which are a bit scary, but I got them checked. They're not going to fall down.
Right.
I don't want to chop them anyway because they're home to bats. I saw an owl here.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you? So first of all, tell me where we are.
Oh, we're just outside Manor Kilbride in Wicklow. And it's the proper countryside. I have a massive back garden to work with, which has been my dream since I was a kid.
Squire Ennis, I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
it's mental. The quail have been upgraded to a new mansion.
It's just great to see them. They're having
a great
beautiful
time. Started filling out garden paths. I'm making a wildflower meadow up here beside a vegetable patch. There's a lot of trees. Somebody loved this garden.
Yeah.
Deeply loved this garden about 20 years ago, but let it go into disrepair over the years. I think the house was rented out. So I'm not going to take anything away, because if you look at this tree, this is Darwin's Bramble, I think it's called.
It's a beautiful orange-coloured flower. And look at that big bumblebee on there right now.
There's billions of bumblebees on every morning, and they're all the queens at this time of year, so they're all out. So stuff like that. A lot of people kind of come into these spaces and like to chop them away.
Why would you do it?
It's
luscious already, and beautiful.
So what this garden needs is just a little bit of direction.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be great because we have lots of subjects to talk about over the process. And one of the things, when you said what we talk about today, I'm, you know, passionate about my amphibians and ponds. And the first thing I always do if I move it anywhere is start digging. So this is the first of my ponds I put in.
Well, can I just say that you moved in here on a Thursday, and by Tuesday you had this pond in.
I had a pond in,
that's
yeah.
That's like mad.
In a couple of days.
Looks like it's been there forever though.
Yeah. I think people get intimidated by ponds because it sounds like you have to dig a small swimming pool in your back
garden.
Yeah,
and this is just like a couple of inches deep, isn't it?
Exactly. And this is an ideal pond for amphibians. So it's about 6 foot long, it's about a foot and a half wide,
yeah,
and it's about 4 or 5 inches deep at its most part, but mainly about 2 inches deep. And that sounds very odd. I'll put a picture on the link with the podcast, but it sounds very odd, but it actually looks like a small drainage ditch, which you'll find a lot around in the countryside.
Yeah.
And these are constantly used by amphibians. And I had this space between the tarmac of the driveway and the rest of the garden, and it was just lying there. So I just put a bit of pond liner in, dug it down to the shallow depth, put some pond liner in, and then collected weeds, in inverted commas, from the garden. While I was weeding the garden, I collected all those weeds and the mosses that I was taking away from the ornamental side of the garden.
Yeah.
Put them in a bucket, kept them watered, and then just planted them right the way around the outside with a couple of stones to keep them in place of the pond. And it makes it look like instantly that it's been there forever.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's beautiful.
It's fully alive. It's a really nice system of doing it that I kind of learned by trial and error over the years. And it's already after attracting some life. So we have hoverflies laying their eggs in straight
already?
Away. Yeah.
God.
So one of the first animals to arrive will be hoverflies. And they'll lay these things, their eggs, and they hatch out into these horrible looking creatures called rat-tailed maggots. So yeah, they're horrible.
Name.
But they turn into beautiful hoverflies. So.
And you have a big sort of mason jar there with something in it that I know is something pretty special.
Yeah, come on, we have a look over here. So yeah, so this is
so it looks like dirty water.
It looks like dirty water, but it's actually Daphne from St. Stephen's Green in in central Dublin. If you get a very fine mesh net from a pet shop, if you're setting up a pond, what tends to happen is, because it's not a developed pond and the system hasn't been around for a long time, you'll get a thing called algal blooms.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand up so you're not leaning over.
Yeah.
You'll get a thing called algal blooms, which basically turns your pond into a pea soup. Now, it's part of the natural process, but it'll take a long time for that to settle, and sometimes it can take years. So a way of dealing with that is to go down to your local ornamental pond or your local wildlife pond and get one of those fine nets and swish it around, dump it in the jar, and you'll see those tiny little microscopic fleas and other creatures.
Tons of things running around.
It's
full
of life.
That is like a soup, actually.
But you'll see all these tiny microscopic, especially the Daphne.
Do I see little tadpoles?
There's some tadpoles in there as well. But the Daphne is the one we're looking for.
Yeah.
Because they are filter feeders. They're essentially freshwater plankton. And they will start sieving out all that green algae as it develops. They'll also form the basis of the food chain for newt spawn, for newt tadpoles, for fish, for dragonflies, for everything. So it's a really good kickstart to your system to get them into your pond. Now, a pond, as we were saying, doesn't have to be your classic big hole in the ground.
Yeah.
If you've only a small garden, like I did, I had ponds that were the size of shoeboxes, ponds that were bigger. And here's a thing over here. If you walk up my garden path. So these are the trays that people keep stuff under their bed.
Oh yeah.
So you can store you'll get them in places like IKEA and that. They're just big tubs.
Yeah.
These are black plastic, but you get them in clear plastic and all sorts of colours. And they're basically these tubs that slide under your bed and you put your shoes in them.
It's a metre and a half or something by a metre.
So, exactly. Yeah. It's a metre by a half a metre.
Yeah.
You can get them in various different sizes. And they're for storing all your shoes or your nefarious toys used around the bedrooms. What we have no use for them in this new place, so what I'm going to do is use them as small raised ponds. So again, it's another system, so you can imagine this is just a plastic tub.
Yeah.
You can either sink it into the ground or you can put it on top of the ground, put rocks all around it, again plant it up with weeds and other plants that you don't want, because that's their weeds are generally wild plants that are more attractive for wildlife.
Yeah.
And they'll just grow in and it will become a natural pond fairly quickly. Again, if you just give it a quick kickstart with some living soup from an existing pond, it always helps. But it goes to show you there's a you know, something you wouldn't think could be a pond, in inverted commas, can easily be made into one.
So it really doesn't have to be
Have to be the expensive route. You could do it with anything. I've seen people, we started campaigns to do this a while ago, and I've seen people making ponds out of Belfast sinks. You know, the big white sinks that people have in their houses? I've seen people making ponds out of kids' sand pits that aren't used anymore.
Very creative.
All sorts of creative carry on.
And the amount of life that metre by a half metre would support.
It's going to explode. I mean, people, again, small ponds, small water bodies like that are incredibly productive. They're the ones that animals tend to use, especially if you're looking to get frogs in. This is the ones they look for, because they don't like big bodies of water with fish in. They naturally kind of, they'll use them if they have to, because they're quite take advantage of wherever they can breed, you know. They're very versatile in their breeding abilities, but they will prefer places that haven't got fish in them. I find it I think I've been in the house twice since I moved out here to sleep. I've been staying in the garden the whole time.
Watch yourself. I sort of knew you would be.
Yeah. It's on a slope, which makes building ponds a bit of a challenge.
Right.
Now, I am going to do another pond with a pond liner, which would be the traditional way that a lot of people will do them. You either have preformed plastic ponds, the big ones that you get in garden centres, or you use a pond liner. And because it's on a slope, you have to get out your spirit level and a big plank of wood and dig down and straighten it out. Oh, look here. There's a fox pat.
Oh, really?
I set up a trail cam to have a look and put a bit of chicken out to see who was around. So we got a fox on our first night,
cool.
A rat and a mouse. So very, very exciting. Trying to leave all the borders here and just going to let them grow. For
lovely
wildflowers.
Grass, beautiful grass growing,
yeah.
Nice and rich.
The river that's down there is the Liffey that flows all the way into Dublin.
Yeah.
Full of fish, which is fantastic. And up around the, like, it is a lot of plantation forest, but there's still a lot of wildlife. I've seen deer already, and the bird life is spectacular.
Wow.
I'm actually going to have to become a twitcher now, because it's just so many birds. It's like I have to, my bird identification book is in my friend John's house, so I have to kind of dig that out. And I heard a cuckoo here the other day. I haven't heard a cuckoo since I was in Africa, believe it or not. So this is the big pond.
Okay, how big is that now?
That's about, at the moment, it's about 3 meters across.
Yeah.
And I've kind of taken the vegetation away. 3 meters squared, we'll say. That's what I'm looking at. I've got a 5 meter squared underlay and liner coming.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to dig it out, have a little bit of depth in the middle, but again, I'm going to keep it pretty shallow to fit in with the natural surroundings of here. It's not going to be a fish pond. It's going to be specifically for, hopefully, frogs and newts. I know there's frogs here because I had a trip down to the river today and I was checking the pools beside the river and I found a few tadpoles. So I know they're around the area, which is fantastic.
They've heard that you're in town, Polly.
They're going to have a nice hotel to stay in. My bird boxes are up already for breeding.
Fantastic.
Bat boxes are in the post.
Brilliant.
Do you want to see my stream?
Of course I want to see your stream.
my solitary bee logs that I had in town. Now they're actually kind of getting interest.
And they're beautiful looking as well, aren't they?
So I collected a lot of logs over the years, of, especially when councils were cutting down trees. I thought it was a shame to waste the wood.
That looks like a lovely tree stump. And I see the holes there. Is that where the bees are?
Yeah, so I've drilled these holes out. You can see they're already getting filled up with with bees working away on them. So,
God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just so much plant life. Extraordinary.
Teacher.
I think that's one of the tits. Look at that sunlight coming down. Oh my God.
Magical.
So that's us finished up on the outside of the house. And for this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a chat with somebody far, far away in the wilds of Scotland, in another country town in Scotland, Lockerbie. A friend of ours, Jeff McQueen, has some interesting issues with his own garden and a duck. So we're going to head inside and try and hook up with Jeff McQueen on Zoom for some ducktails.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Look at you.
Hello.
Are you looking at us?
I can see you.
Look at you, Jeff.
How are you? How are things?
I'm good, thank you. How's yourselves?
Collie's just moved into the countryside and you're a country man.
Kind of. Well, I'm in a village, but yeah, we're definitely in the country. So welcome to the country, Collie. How are you finding it?
Can you see Collie's countryside out the window there behind us?
There you go.
I can. It looks nice, man.
Majestic eagles and...
Have you got...
It's crazy. I have to get used to it.
You don't have eagles, do you?
No, we have buzzards, but my kid was like, is that an eagle?
But Jeff, you have a duck tail for us.
I have a duck tail, and we live in a wee village called Eskdale Muir, and over the last sort of year, 18 months, we've had a guy come up here and load up the countryside with loads of pheasants and ducks. So he's sort of set up these kind of game shoots and loaded the town with pheasants and ducks. And of course, during COVID times, they haven't been able to come and shoot the pheasants and ducks. So the whole village is just, it's just strewn with birds everywhere. And last week, we were sort of just looking out the front window of the house and a mummy duck and a daddy duck were just wandering around the garden. So we thought nothing of it, really. We saw them pick a little fight with a crow. The crow had a peck at the mum and the mum had a go at the crow. But then we thought nothing of it. And then later in the afternoon, wandering around the garden, just tucked into the corner of the front window of the house, the sort of ducks had scraped a little rudimentary nest, nothing fancy, basically just a dirty hole in the ground, and there was a big white egg in there. So we're like, oh, Christ. So yeah. so there was a duck egg, and we were just like, brilliant. So let's The front garden was the thing that we were supposed to be fixing this summer. The plan was to tidy it up and gentrify it and make it all kind of nice. But then we thought, well, we can't do that.
Middle class.
Well, a wee bit, you know. But I mean, we're trying to do it all in an appropriate way. You know, my wife's keen to get native wildflowers all over the place and to make it home for bees and bugs and all that kind of stuff.
And you only had the one egg in the nest.
Well, this is where the story takes a sad turn. So if you want to put some sad music underneath this bit. So there was a duck egg, and then we were all like, okay, brilliant. And then later on in the afternoon, the duck egg was gone. And so we were just like, oh, something's had it. And so we sort of put on our investigative hats and tried to figure out. So in the front garden, there's a couple of holes the size of a sort of Pringles tube or something like that, which we think are maybe weasels. My wife's seen a weasel at least once, so it's weasels or stoats or something like that. So we thought it's maybe a weasel's popped up and had it.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's unlikely it's been a fox, and we think it might be a crow. So we've gone through this sort of list of kind of who it could be, trying to figure it out.
You'll have to invest in a camera trap.
Yeah,
well, because I'm Scottish and cheap, I wouldn't spend money on anything. So I've got old kit lying around. So I took an old sort of cheap fake GoPro thing and tried to resurrect that, but the battery's old, so I've got hundreds and hundreds of photos of everything that happened prior to the egg getting stolen and then the So we've done that a couple of times. So the egg disappeared, and then we thought, all right, that's that, you know, that'll be game over. But the lady duck came back and laid another egg. She went again and sort of began to literally feather the nest a wee bit. The egg wasn't terrifically well hidden, and the same bloody thing happened, you know. So the egg was there in the morning.
Wow.
And it's weird, because we wouldn't know the duck was there, and then about 9 o'clock in the morning we'd see the lady duck just wander off. Looked like she was going to work, essentially. She was like, I see you, you know, with lunch pail under her wing, and off she went. And then she'd come back under cover of darkness, you know, so we wouldn't see her. She'd come back literally like after we'd closed the curtains, and it was must have been sort of after 10 o'clock at night, something like that. So she'd be quite haphazard with the maintenance of the egg and the caring for the nest and all that sort of stuff.
Would she be a young mother, do you reckon, Collie?
I haven't a clue.
You don't want to add ducks?
I'm not a big duck guy. I don't know, but she doesn't sound like she's well up on like...
She needs to do a bit of Googling.
She needs to get one of those how-to books on first-time, you know, egg layers, see how she gets on after that.
Yeah. The fascinating thing that I find about ducks is that... they obviously want to ensure the greatest chance of survival for their young, so they don't build their nests anywhere near water, because of course there's lots of water predators who will pop in and munch away on the young. So they fly away from water, and they hide beautifully. Like, generally, they hide beautifully, like in our back garden. Apart from this one, in our back garden, the only time you'll know you had a duck's nest is when she's gone. And you find it later, like much later. But they hide beautifully.
Or you see her doing the long march with the
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Crossroads and
exactly,
crazy places.
And that's what I was going to say. The mad thing is, so they fly in order to protect their ducklings. Then, of course, when they go back to water, the ducklings can't fly. So they have this march, and it ends up being, as Collie said, over fences, walls, roadways, and crazy stuff. And that's where you get all the pictures in the paper of traffic coming to a standstill and people rescuing ducks, or ducks walking over grills.
I'm sure there's about 5 billion duck baby videos on YouTube.
Yeah,
of the marching
grass.
Do you know what species of duck it was by any chance?
I think it's just a commoner garden mallard. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there was.
It's so odd that she's just coming and laying one egg and then disappearing. That's really mad.
We should try and find a duck expert.
We'll find a duck expert to answer these questions for you.
We're on the case, Jeff. Is there anything you want to know about Mrs. Duck, apart from why she's so crap at being a mother?
Well, I mean, my suspicions, I think, are the same as yours, that this is her first gig at, you know, and she's figuring it out. So we got, you know, we were kind of monitoring the egg, and so we lost the first 4 or 5 disappeared. And then at one stage we got up to having 2 eggs in the nest, you know, so we went a couple of days without a predator taking it away. So we're kind of like, all right, okay, maybe we've cracked it. But of course, once a predator knows that you can go and just help yourself, then they're just going to keep checking that spot. So we had the heartbreak of coming back one day and both eggs being gone. And, you know, it's stupidly invested in this. You know, it's like just really, I was absolutely heartbroken by it.
It's hard not to. It's hard not to. Yeah.
Yeah. You have them named, you have them sent to college, exactly. Everything, you know. But in fairness, Jeff, what were you like with your first child?
Oh, fucking clueless.
Right, let us know if there's anything, is there anything else you'd like us to find out about your mallard from our expert that we're going to find?
I mean, it confuses me the fact that a mother can lay an egg and then go away for like a day and then come back and then sit on it or whatever. And so, I mean, I was wondered about, you know, my understanding, because I'm not bright and I don't know anything. I thought that if you lay an egg, then you kind of had to keep it warm. You couldn't just leave it because it's cold. It's been like sub-zero overnight here, you know. So I was wondering, are those eggs insulated? Would they survive being left in sub-zero temperatures?
I know myself, and I'm only speaking from the breeding of quail, which I do. As a little side project to feed myself lovely quail eggs and act much richer than I am. I know that when you're trying to hatch them, you take the eggs away. And same with chicken eggs as well. You can take them away and put them in a cool place. And you keep them there for a few days until you're ready to incubate them all together. So I would imagine it might be something similar with your mallard.
Right.
Now, again, we will have to talk to a proper duck expert.
Well, I mean, she's now disappeared. After the two eggs were gone, we haven't seen her for 48 hours. So we've left, I think the RSPB website said you can leave sort of cooked potatoes out for them and you know, a little water source. So she's got a big kind of bin lid. She's got like a one duck pond that she can sit on. And we've been cooking extra potatoes for her. But she's disappeared, so we'd like her back if we can.
We'll see what we could do with voice-wise. God, boiled or cooked potatoes for ducks. It's come a long way since the old stale bread we used to throw into the ponds, isn't it? What will we have in next, caviar?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're supposed to give them defrosted frozen peas now, isn't it? That's what you're recommending.
Yeah, it is all good advice. All joking aside, it's great advice because they do get rather sick with the old bread.
Yeah.
But that's a fascinating tale, a tragic tale, but still something we might learn something from. And hopefully that duck mother will learn something from it as well. Not to put your nests on the ground beside a weasel hole.
Bad neighbourhood. Yeah, get me some facts. That'd be grand.
And so we went looking for a duckspert and found one in Trinity College Dublin.
Hello, testing, testing. Now, I'm in TCD with my good friend Fionn, who's a PhD student in the college in zoology here and is a top man to talk about birds, the feathered kind. We're wearing masks just in case we sound a little bit blurry. So we were talking about Jeff's duck and the fact that it was laying eggs, disappearing, and the eggs are being predated on by whatever was taking them. Can you explain what's going on there?
Yeah, so I suppose if you think about it from the duck's perspective, it's quite a taxing thing to be laying these eggs every single day. So usually she'll take a recess. I think it's usually twice a day she takes this recess, where she goes off and she kind of preens and forages and things like that. So it's only a few minutes at a time, usually, I think. I don't know if that lines up with what's been observed there. But during that time, while she's still laying the eggs, you'd expect usually the male to still be kind of on the scene, kind of guarding the area and stuff. And then, you know, if they need to lay another clutch, then they presumably can. In this case, though, it sounds like the male isn't around. Maybe something's happened to him, or maybe it's a more inexperienced pair or something, and they seem to be having quite bad luck with it. But hopefully it works out okay for them.
Well, that explains a lot. So she has no baby daddy there to look after the eggs, or she's relatively inexperienced. That's brilliant. Thank you so much. You're an absolute gent. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out of your day.
Thanks, Dolly.
The Critter Watershed is a Red Hair Media production, hosted by Collie Ennis and Colette Kinsella. And as always, a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters who help us to keep this show on the road.
The Critter Shed is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts, as is my podcast, Not Without My Sister. You can find more great shows on thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.